A while ago, I preached about becoming a kingdom person. And I believe truly that part of being a kingdom individual is this idea that we are to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to us. We are to be good stewards of what the resources, whatever it is that God has given to us, we are to be good stewards. So that's one of the reasons, one of the things that makes you a kingdom individual. See, right from the start of Jesus' earthly ministry, when he appeared on the seashore of the Sea of Galilee, he began teaching people with this message. He said to people, change your ways. He said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Or the kingdom of God is near. That was Jesus' first message to the crowd. You know, and when we go through the Gospel of Matthew, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, his main theme is the kingdom of God. You know how I found that out? I read the whole book of Matthew, and if you were to read it today, just highlight every time that he mentioned the word, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Matthew has 28 chapters, and I guarantee you, you're going to find more than 50 times the phrase, the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of heaven is like. I mean, that was the main thing. Matthew is so obsessed, concerned that people understand what the kingdom of God is all about. Remember, it's in Matthew 6:33, a famous passage that we are used to when he says, this is Jesus talking, he says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. The kingdom of God. Now, many of us are like, what in the world is he talking about? What is the kingdom of God? I thought the kingdom of God is when Jesus comes back and establishes kingdom. But do you know that the kingdom of God is here and also not yet? That the church is part of the kingdom of God. And even in the Lord's Prayer, and again in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, your kingdom come and your will be done. But nevertheless, Jesus began saying, repent, the kingdom of God has started. It has begun. So you and I are part of the kingdom of God. You see, the moment you and I decide to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, the moment you and I believe in Jesus and we are baptized into his name, we are subjects of the kingdom. We become part of his kingdom. And we become kingdom individuals, ambassadors for Christ. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus one time. And even in John, you see, it wasn't just Matthew that talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. John says, Jesus talking to a religious expert, a religious lawyer. Jesus talking to Nicodemus and says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So you see, in order for you to enter, to be part of the kingdom, you have to believe in Jesus and you have to be baptized into him. And then that makes you part of that kingdom. The question for us now to wrestle with will be, but what are we supposed to do now that we're part of the kingdom of God? Tony Evans, I have used that before. He talks about, he has a great book talking about becoming a kingdom individual, a kingdom person. And his definition of a kingdom person, he says, a kingdom person is someone who is willing to adjust his decision to God's decision, even if God's decision is not the one preferred. So in other words, you are willing to adjust whatever you have, your agendas, your decision to God's agenda, even if sometimes God's agenda and decision is not really the one we want. So that's what a kingdom individual is all about. You see, Jesus taught many things concerning the kingdom of God. And I think it will be wise for us to really dive into that teaching so that we can have a better understanding of what the kingdom of God is all about and also to have a better understanding of our role in it. Perhaps we might not know what are we supposed to do in the kingdom of God in the now as we yearn with anticipation to the coming kingdom as well. Like I said, Matthew's, you know, through the teaching of Jesus, we can understand better what the kingdom of God is and the role that we play in it as part of the subjects of the kingdom. Now, one of the things that Jesus expects of us as kingdom individual is that we become good stewards of what he has entrusted to us. God expects people to be good stewards. Stewardship or stewards means manager. Somebody entrusts something to you, and you're supposed to care for that. So God expects you and I to care for what he has entrusted to us. I believe many Christians still don't understand this idea or this notion of stewardship. Or perhaps many Christians just don't want to understand it. You see, Jesus spoke a parable in the Gospels in Matthew 25, this parable of the talents. And yes, talents back then represented money. You know, talents today, when you hear the word talents, you think about physical ability, something you can do. But back then, a talent was a unit of money worth a lot. I mean, some translations say that it was worth like 20 years of wages. So in other words, you have more than two talents. You were a millionaire back in those days. But Jesus, remember, it's a parable. So he's not talking about true characters. He's utilizing an illustration to help people focus into what he's talking about in regard to stewardship and the talents. Now, we're going to pick it up in Matthew 25. That's where Jesus has this parable. Matthew is the only one who tells us about this parable of the talents. Verse 14. The word of God reads, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money." You see, of money, this money that we're talking about. "To another 2 talents and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more talents. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the masters of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man who had the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting what you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be giving more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's the whole story that Jesus talks about in parables. Now remember, a parable was an illustration, earthly illustration portraying a spiritual teaching. A parable doesn't mean that those are true characters. It's just an illustration that Jesus is using. And he was an expert telling parables to people. And NIV calls it the parable of the talents. So really, this parable is about stewardship that we're talking about here. You and I need to understand that when you read verse 14, it says, "Again, it will be." Like, if you only read that verse, you will be lost. Just like, what is he talking about? "Again, it will be." You got to go back to verse 1 of 25, when Jesus already used another parable to illustrate the whole idea of the kingdom of God. He's talking in chapter 25, verse 1. "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. And he's talking about the urgency to wait, because there were 5 that were smart, 5 that were foolish in the kingdom of God. He's talking about, he's addressing that. So now when we go to verse 14, he says, "Again, it will be." Again, what? "Again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey. Before he went on the journey, he calls his servants and he entrusted to them his property." You know, the servant in the story, you know who it is? Jesus Christ, God himself. And you know who the servants are in the parable? You and I. He entrusts something to them. And whatever he entrusts really doesn't belong to us, is God's. Everything belongs to the master. But he gives us responsibilities to care for that which is his. You see, he's the owner. And he entrusts his property to his servants. And then he goes on a journey. That's what Jesus did in a sense. See, God, my friends, he expects us to be good stewards of what he has entrusted to us. He already placed us as manager. You know, this is not the first time we hear about the parable not the talents, but the whole idea of stewardship. God, when he created the universe, when he created the whole world, he put mankind in charge. When we go back to Genesis, God, the whole creation was entrusted to the humans. The whole creation was entrusted to men, mankind, human beings. How do we know that in Genesis? When God created everything in Genesis chapter 1 and also in chapter 2, 1:27. Let me just read that quick for you. I mean, God created mankind. He also created so many things. The whole universe came into existence because God created it, and then he placed mankind in charge of everything he created. That's stewardship right there. And God said in verse 20, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Rule over the earth. Who's in charge? Mankind was in charge of the whole creation. God put him in charge of the creation. He says, rule over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said to them, I give you every bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours. God placed mankind in charge. Already we see stewardship from the beginning. You are responsible to take care of that. Rule over that. Why do you think when mankind failed, God came and said, where are you? What have you done? And then Adam did not want to take responsibility. Then he said, well, it was the woman that you put here with me. She made me do it. And the woman said, well, it was the serpent who made me do it. And they didn't want to take responsibility. When God came to hold them accountable for what happened, and check out chapter 2 of Genesis 2:15. When God planted a garden, even in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of God, God put mankind to take care of all the flowers, whatever was in that garden, God put him in charge. That's stewardship. He's entrusting what belongs to him. He's entrusting that to humanity. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 15, he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from every tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's interesting. Over people complain, but why did God plant the tree? You know why? Because it was his garden. And in the garden, you want what? You can have weed if you wanted to. It's your garden. Nobody had to tell. But he said, do not touch this one. There's accountability right now. There's like God already said, you are free to eat of all the trees of the garden, but I don't want you to go and eat of that one. Who's the owner of the gardens? God. Who did he put in charge to care for that? Mankind. They failed because they went to the one that he told them not to. You see, from the beginning, we have this concept, this notion of stewardship right here. Just like Jesus said, the master went on his journey and he entrusted to them his property, the talents that he gave. To one, he gave 5. To another, 2. And to one person, he gave in just 1. God is the owner. You see, but you are responsible to care for what he has given to you. Now, there might be, in the kingdom of God, there might be people that are 5-talent individuals. There might be people that might be 2-talent person or just 1-talent. The Bible is very clear. It says that he gave to each one according to their ability because God's not going to give you something you cannot handle. If God gave the creation to Adam and Eve and humanity, it's because he saw potential in them and he realized they can do that. I know your potential. I know your ability. So if he give you 5, it's because you can manage 5. If he give you 2, it's because you can manage just 2. But if he only gives you 1, it's because that's what your capability allows. That's what your ability allows. And so these people, they were not complaining when they just got 2. It's like, He says he gave to each one according to their ability. So when it comes to stewardship, God blesses you and he gives you things based on what you can manage and handle. So the saying that people say, God doesn't give you more than you can bear, is true. God doesn't give you more than you can just like, oh Lord, why are you giving me so many stuff? Like, if he gives you something and you know it's coming from him, it's because you have the capability, the ability to manage, to care for that. So even in the church and in families, we might have people that you can see around. They might be a 5-talent individual, 2-talent person, or even 1-talent, because that's all you are able to manage. That's all that you're able to handle. Like I said, a talent was a monetary unit worth thousands of, we were to giving numbers today, thousands of dollars. But a talent represents the master's wealth. The talent in our story represents something that belongs to the master. It is God's, and he's now entrusting that to his servants. He's putting you in charge of his possession, his wealth, and one day he's going to come back and hold you accountable to see what you've done with that. Now, you see in the story, the one who received 5 went and at once he put the money to work, and he won 5 more talents. Also, the man with 2 earned 2 more talents. In God's kingdom, like I said, there are people that might be 5 talent individual or 2 talents or even 1 talent individual. God entrusts his possession, his resources to you and I. And he expects us to be good, faithful stewards of what we've been entrusted. It's not ours. We always talk about that. And we kind of like, we heard that, but I don't think we quite get it, that everything we have really is not ours. You and I are just passing through. Solomon talked about that. You see, the guy got, thousands, millions of dollars, and he couldn't take it. That's how you know whatever you have is not yours. When you die, you cannot take it with you. They can put them in the coffin, but you're not going to be able to utilize it. It belongs to something else. You and I are passing by, and our job, our role is to be good stewards, to manage well what has been entrusted to us, and that includes even the world. You know, I'm not saying and promoting that we have to go green, but think about, if you live on this planet, why wouldn't you take care of it? If you live in a neighborhood, or even if you have a room, like I was trying to teach some of our kids, why wouldn't you clean it once in a while? It's not going to clean by itself. And being good stewards is, you have so many things that perhaps kids in Mexico or Africa, they don't have all that things you have, and they wish that you haven't, you give them a third, it's yours, but, you know, take care of that. So being good stewards, mom and dad expect kids to be good stewards of the resources, the things that we give them. You know, because at any moment given time, as the master, we might say, we're going to take that away from you because you're not managing very well. We might take the cell phone away from you because maybe you're not managing very well. So God expects his people to be good stewards, faithful stewards of what he has entrusted to us. You are responsible for what has been given to you. You are not responsible for somebody else's talent. See, each one was supposed to do, to be responsible for what they got from the master. The 5-talent individual was responsible for the 5 talents. The 2-talent individual was responsible for the 2. And the 1 was just responsible for the 1. So each one of us is responsible for what has been given to us, for what he has placed in your care. God will not hold you accountable for what you do not have. He will only hold you accountable for what he has entrusted to you. You see, the story says that then the master went on the journey. 2 of the servants got busy with what was given to them. And then the master came back to hold them accountable. So this will not be some kind of accountability that God's going to hold. And it goes back to the whole judgment day. One day God's going to hold us accountable. The Bible talks about that our reward in heaven depends on what we do with what we have. So God's going to hold each and everyone's accountable for what he's going to say, but what did you do with what I gave you? And maybe all of us will come with an excuse and say, well, maybe I didn't have time. And that's another thing. Even time God gives to us. Now, it says that he came and the man who had the 5 talents said, Lord, master, you see, you gave me 5 talents here. Here's 5 more. And then the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my happiness. Also, the man with the two talents came and said, Master, you entrusted to me. You gave me two talents. See, I have earned two more talents. And then the master replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of more things. Come and share in your master's happiness. I mean, there's something for us to learn right there. Through the words of the master, when you are faithful with little, you will also be faithful with much. And if you're not faithful with the small things, what makes you think you're going to be faithful with the big things? You know, if you and I fail God with the little things, we will fail God with the abundance. So and apparently, if you're not faithful with the small, don't expect God to give you more things. He said, you've been faithful with a few things, I'm going to put you in charge of more. So when you're faithful with what you have, God increases your potential. He gives you more because he realizes that you have the potential to manage that. You were so faithful with what he gave you. So, you know, he's also going to be faithful with what I'm about to give him. So this idea, this notion of stewardship, being faithful stewards pleases God and increases your potential as well as your possibilities. Because, yeah, if you're not faithful with the small things, you're not going to be faithful with the big things. If you're going to manage the little things, what makes you think you're going to manage the bigger things? You got to be faithful with the little things you have, and then God will increase your potential and give you more things. You know, like sometimes people pray for many blessings in God, and God just give you little ones because that's all you can handle. He knows if he give you the big stuff, you probably forsake about him. And says that you being faithful with what I gave you, I'm going to put you in charge because I know your capability. I know that you have the potential for even more. And then here comes the one with the one talent. This guy is interesting because he said that he was afraid. He was afraid of the master. But then if you were afraid of your boss, why didn't you get busy then? He said, he comes and master, I know that you're, first he starts, I know you're a hard man. Are you going to tell your boss that? I know that you're hard to deal with. I mean, you're already shooting yourself in the foot by coming to the master like that. Master, I know you're a hard man that you sow where you have not scattered, and you can just reap a field even when you have not sown seeds. And I was afraid, he said. Sounds like Adam. I was afraid and I hid. Then the man who had, verse 24, had received one talent. The master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and I hid your talent. I hid it. I dug it in the ground, but you came back. So here's what belongs to you. And the master is almost like, dude, that's not even the point. The point is that you were supposed to do something. And I know you were capable of doing, but you did nothing. DJ talked about that one time here. That the problem with this man is that he did not even try. You gave me that. So, and the reason you got one talent is because I know you're capable to do a lot with one, and you did not even bother to even invest in something. That's why it says, if you knew that I'm so harsh, but why didn't you take the money and give it to the bankers and put them in deposit so when I came back, I would have received it with interest? You see, you already, whatever you're saying does not even make sense. You see, lack of effort and laziness in the kingdom of God makes God angry. And it's almost like he calls him this worthless servant. I mean, you know, in other words, you're really almost underestimating God. He gave you something and you're trashing it. Like you don't value what he gave you. You do nothing with that. I mean, the master says he got angry and he says, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and got the way I have not scattered. Then you should have put my money on deposits and with the banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. And then he said, take that talent from him and give it to the one with the 10. For everyone who has will be giving more and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And then he said, throw that worthless servants outside into the darkness where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, when you fail God with the little things, you will also fail him with the big things. So he's not going to put you in charge of more things because you haven't proved yourself with what he gave you. also that decreases your possibility. And there's another lesson right there. When you don't use it, you lose it. We heard that many times. And that's so true, because you know people that perhaps they knew how to speak a language, and perhaps they knew how to play an instrument. And when you start practicing, what happens to you? Your fingers get stiff. It's almost like, I'm out of touch with that. You don't use it, you lose it. God gave you something for you to utilize, for you to manage. And if you're not going to do it, God will take it from you and give it to somebody else that will. So that's the whole idea, the concept of whatever you have given to you, don't waste it. He expects you to manage it. And you see, we're talking about talents today, but you know, think about everything else that God has given to us. You're trashing perhaps your husband or wife, somebody else might think it's a jewel. So you don't take care of that, somebody else will. And God will give it to somebody else that will take care of that. Time, money, whatever it is we have. God has entrusted to us so many things to care for that, to manage. He expects you and I to be good stewards of the resources or whatever it is He has entrusted to us. God doesn't want worthless servants in His kingdom. And those are the ones who do nothing with what He has entrusted to them. The worthless servants are the ones that just don't care about stewardship. They just, you know, they don't realize that it's not even ours. That's God. If it's God's, well, maybe I should care for them in a way that God expects me to. God expects you to be good stewards of what He has entrusted to us. He's the master in the story. We are His servants. And He has given us so much when we think about it. The universe. He has given us a planet. He has given us homes, families, friends, abilities, physical abilities to utilize. He has given you a life. Do you realize that, you know, our life's not even ours? You know, people want to pass laws saying like, oh, that the body, you're responsible for your body. Do you realize your body's not even yours? There's somebody who has the key to life and death of your life. And that's God. So your life, your body belongs to you. And the Bible is very clear. It says that we are to be good stewards of what He has given to us. I should not put things in my body that will not prolong health. I should not get things in my body that will not help me to be healthy, to be able to talk to people. If I'm eating too much, or if I'm just injecting things that will not be beneficial to God, I'm trashing God's house. You know, even there, we are supposed to be good stewards of our bodies. We're supposed to be good stewards of the time that we have. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have enough time. Everybody gets 24 hours. So even there, you have to realize, how am I investing the time that I will have time even to talk to God or even to spend time with my family? Everybody gets the same number of hours, and it's going to be your job to be able to manage that time well, to manage the friendships you have well, because they might be gone tomorrow. And God gives you, God brings people to you for a reason. God brings and gives you, you know, abilities and things. And if you just don't care, I mean, eventually God will just bring it to somebody else that will manage that very well. That's the whole concept of stewardship. You know, it always bothers me when I'm driving and I see people driving ahead of me and they throw things, garbage. You know, sometimes, this is me, I'm tempted just to go collect it and stop and you throw it back in the car. One day I will do it and then you see me on the news. But seriously, it's almost like, now, this is the idea that people, this is why they do it. This is the reasoning. Well, somebody's getting paid to do that. You see, that's not even the point. The point is, that becomes garbage. Garbage brings all kinds of diseases. I mean, that's where you live, man. Why are you trashing? You know, and it bothers me when I see that happen. People just don't, I mean, why didn't you put them in your pocket? And there's garbage cans all over the city. But you know, some people don't want to do that. And so even there, we're talking about stewardship. Resources that God has given to all of us. And you know, imagine if we didn't have those resources. I mean, in any moment, giving moment, He can say, you know what, you're not being good stewards. I'm taking that from you. You know, we have a building. I always talk about the church building. Let's take care of that. If you see something dirty or something fall apart, do something about it. Don't wait for Dante or somebody else to just come. It's like, because this is the house we come and worship, and if there's a leak, let's try to fix it. You know, you do that to the car you drive. Now, I know a lady one time that she never changed the oil. I don't know how that Toyota was still running. but yeah, she said to us, oh, I didn't know that I needed to change the oil. You know, I mean, God gave that lady the car, and by the grace of God, I was still running. But even you take care of your cars, you take care of your body, your clothes, God expects you to be good stewards. So We have a parking lot. We have, I mean, some churches don't even have parking lots. And you know, we have chairs that they're padded and they're comfy. You know, in some countries, they sit with concrete blocks and wood and they're content. But that's all they have. So whatever we have, let's take care of that, because tomorrow they might not be here. You know, that's what it means to be good steward. God gave you, and he said, well done. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'm going to put you in charge of many things. If we're not faithful with the few things we have, we won't be faithful with the big picture. If we're going to handle the little things, we won't be able to handle the big things. So we've got to be faithful with what we have right now, and God expects you and I to be faithful, to be those great stewards that he knows that we are able to do it, because he entrusted those things to us. Now, the question is, how are you taking care of the things God placed under your care? So one day, he's going to come back and hold us accountable and say, hey, what did you do with the time I gave you? What did you do with the building, the house I gave you, the car, or your wife, or your husband? What did you do with the friends that I gave you? Those, you know, oh, you know, like the friends that Solomon was talking about. Pretty soon, the friends joined that guy because he had money, prodigal son. What did you do with the family I gave you? The abilities that I placed in you, were you using them for my glory, or you were just using them to enrich yourself and be famous and forgot about me? What have you done with that? I hope we can hear the words from the master saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Man, you've been faithful in a few things, but you're ready to move on to the next level. You're going to be come and share the master's happiness. I hope that you and I will not hear the words, you lazy, wicked servant. What have you done? We all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in the master's happiness. Remember, if we fail God with the small things, we will not be faithful in the big things. And there's somebody who sang a song and said, may those who come before us find us faithful. That they already see the pattern of being good stewards of what we have, so that we can train the next generation to be the same. Because if we let the building fall on us, that's what we train the next generation. They will do the same tomorrow. It's going to fall on them too, because, you know, so that they see the faithfulness that we already display onto them to be good stewards of the resources, the things that God has given us to us. And we talked about life. Your human bodies are not yours. So those debates, like, oh, this is the women's, no, it's not your body, it's God's body. And he can take it any moment. I mean, try to stop God from killing, from dying. Try to stop yourself from dying. You can't. So it's not yours. Eventually so we have to have that concept in our mind that everything that we have, we're just passing through. One day, all those things be taken away from us, everything. And so it's like, in the meantime, we are to manage well what we have been given, what he has given to us. Only faithful stewards are rewarded in God's kingdom. Only faithfulness in his kingdom is rewarded at the end. If you're not faithful in what he has given you, don't expect a reward from the Lord. Because he rewards when he can say, well done. You did exactly what I expected you to do. You managed that well.